Hour number two, welcome back, Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We're going to talk to Jeff Hughes, DeBearsBlog.com, momentarily. That will be the last of the regional teams to take a look at what they did this past 3 days over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jackson Gatlin on the NBA, Locked On the NBA, part of Locked On Podcast Network. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Not that these other series that are ongoing don't get your attention, but man, oh man, this T-Wolves Nuggets thing. Mm-hmm. I think the dog's got a shot. I think the dog's going to be barking. We'll see. Jeff Hughes, DeBearsBlog.com. He joins us as he did to preview what might happen this weekend. And now to recap, he joins us. Hello, Jeff Hughes. How are you?
I'm good. You can ask me questions about the NBA, but I haven't watched an NBA game since Spud Webb was in the league.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you want early 90s NFL NBA nuggets, but I'm here for them if you need them.
Yeah, I said earlier to Trent, I haven't seen the Knicks play since Patrick Ewing.
I live here, Ken. Let me tell you something. Most people around here haven't either. It is amazing, though, how the celebrities show up to the Garden.
Yep, that's
they
true.
Emerge. They emerge like cicadas. When it gets to this time of year,
indeed they do.
Good, yeah.
Before we get into the draft, how did your at the Bears blog, you guys video that I don't know how long you're on for on your YouTube channel. How did it go? Was it fun? Was it worth it? Would you do it again?
I don't think I'm still on. It went for 3 hours. Would I do it again? Probably not. It was interesting this year because they had the two picks.
Sure.
And so there was this belief leading up to the whole night they would deal out of that ninth pick. But that became apparent as the first 10 picks were moving along that that wasn't going to happen. So, I stayed on to sort of comment on the action as it was going along, but I sort of faded and let my draft guys take care of that. It's an interesting night. It's a fun night. I still think the pageantry and the excessiveness is so over the top, but that's what the NFL is now, and we just have to deal with it.
So we knew it was going to be Caleb Williams. We talked a lot about him last week with the number one pick. What we didn't know was what was going to happen at nine, and it turns out to be Rome Odunze. They have a pretty good wide receiver room. It's not a stretch to say this is the best wide receiver room the Bears have ever had, right?
Not a stretch. I mean, what's the comparison? I mean, they had a good room with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. That's probably their best pair. I go back to the mid-90s where they had Curtis Conway and Ingram, I think, was on that. I like Marcus Robinson and Marty Booker. So I'm just going to go back in time and start naming random wide receivers. This is right now the best collection of skill guys in the history of this organization, and you can't walk into a better spot if you're Caleb Williams, as I've said before. How do you defend this team? You've got DJ Moore on one side, Keenan Allen on the other side. Now you have the size and the big playability of Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet coming on last year, DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, Gerald Everett in the red zone. And then Tyler Scott and Velus Jones, if he learns how to catch, beating you over the top. I just don't see how you're going to line up and defend this team if Caleb Williams is mediocre. This has the potential to be the best offense this organization has ever had. So, I mean, it's a remarkable thing to have watched Ryan Poles build this.
Yeah.
And to sit here today and see what this quarterback is walking into. And we've never had a rookie quarterback walk into even a positive situation, let alone one this positive. It's just incredibly exciting. Think we're going to watch the Bears play modern pro football in September.
Think about that.
Wow.
What a concept. Might this learning curve go quicker than some anticipate because of all the help that he has around him? He's got a defense. I mean, this I think the Bears are, you know, on the cusp of maybe a wild card or maybe getting to a playoff this year, Jeff, not a year or two down the road. This team might be ready now. Is that crazy?
I think they're a playoff team this year. I mean, I think the only thing that could hold them back from being a playoff team this year would be a very tough year for the quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't see the flaws. If you want to call them a title contender, that's going to take them adding another pass rusher midseason the way they added Sweat this season. And remember, they have a full complement of picks next year. They have the assets to make a move midseason if they have to do it. So, but they're not going to be a title contender with the pass rush as is. But I just don't see seven teams better than them in the NFC. And I'm hard-pressed to find four or five, if I'm being honest, right now. We watched this team go toe-to-toe with Detroit last year. They beat them for 55 out of 60 minutes. Green Bay's had their numbers, had their number for 30 decades. But I think we're about to see a switch in that, too, because Green Bay's never had to defend them with this many players. And I keep saying this whenever I'm talking on our sort of our Bears blog formats. The biggest thing for Caleb Williams is going to be that first game he wins 17-10. And understanding that he doesn't have to play hero ball with this group of guys. They're going to score. And this offensive skill collection is almost designed to be easy throws for him. Think about the way Keenan Allen plays, the way DJ Moore plays, Swift again, Komet. These are mid-range target guys that if he's accurate with the football, he's going to throw for 300 and 400 yards in games without having to do very much. So I think it's an incredibly exciting prospect for him, and he just seems to have embraced everything about what this project is. Ken, I think you're right. I'll be surprised if they're not in the postseason.
I'm with you. One name that's still out there, and he was with him last year, and he's a one-trick pony, but he can't get to the quarterback, and that's Ngakoue. I don't think he's signed anywhere, has he?
I don't think so either, and that's the talk right now is that they'll entertain that conversation. They have kids who I think they could slide around. I mean, Jervin Dexter was very good down the stretch of the season last year. You could see him moving around. Marcus Walker can play the position, but he's not a prototypical edge rusher. And Ngakoue had his moments last year, banged up down the stretch. I could see them bringing him back in. But listen, you're not getting this what they need from that spot with a Band-Aid veteran one-year deal.
Yeah.
They're going next year. We know target number one for this team next offseason is a premier edge rusher, and they might have to give up picks. They may have to spend a lot of money. That's where they're going to target. That's the only hole right now on this roster, barring the left tackle. If the left tackle has a struggle year, that's their second add next year. But right now, the only discernible hole on the roster is that edge player opposite Montez Sweat.
Jeff, I've watched a lot of punting, being an Iowa Hawkeye fan throughout my life, and even more the last couple of seasons. Also, as a Bears fan, with the limited draft capital that they had after the first round, as much as I love Torrey Taylor, I just didn't love it because of the position. Your takeaway, going punter in the fourth round, pick 122.
We've been talking for a long time, Trent, you and I, and I think you know full well what I'm going to say. And that's, yeah, baby, let's go! I want to see, I know the analytics guys and the draft analytics guys say you don't draft kickers, you don't draft punters, and they've got all kinds of numbers to defend it. I still believe these new kickoff rules have not quite been digested by everyone yet. There is going to be a premium on the ability to place the football this year in ways there has not been in the past. So I want to wait and see how these new kickoff rules affect things. What I've been told by people is they imagine Cairo Santos being their kicker on extra points and field goals inside 50. They imagine this kid doing everything else. Mm. So there's a lot of talk about his versatility. And listen, one thing we've seen from polls as a general manager is he is simply not afraid to take a shot. And every time, listen, it hasn't always worked, Claypool. It has worked, Montez Sweat. I think they have a view of this kid as a weapon on this team. And here's another thing I like about it. There's an arrogance to the pick. It's a Bill Belichick kind of pick. You know what?
Yeah.
We're confident what we got. We're taking the punter here. And I think it sends a really good message into that locker room that, guys, the rebuild is over.
Mm-hmm.
The days of brownie points are over. This team has to start winning, and now we're adding the final pieces to a winning puzzle.
You and I are on the same page when it comes to Torrey Taylor. I'm with you. I think he's an incredible weapon. And the Bears fans, there's going to come a time, I think, very soon that they forget where he was drafted and just relish how good he is and what a weapon he becomes. Jeff, what about the other teams in the division? The Lions, they looked after the secondary again. I liked their draft. I liked what the Packers did in some spots. What about the rivals in the division? It was there a draft by one of the other three that got your attention?
Not really. I would say the Vikings, I think we can assume now this is going to be a transitional year for the Vikings. Reports out today that they tried to do everything, move heaven and earth to get to number three. It's not a great leak today for J.J. McCarthy's camp, if you're finding out that they basically wanted to get another a different guy. I think Sam Darnold will start there, and I think that's a mediocre team. I think the Packers are going to be good. I mean, I think the Packers are what they are last year. They never make a splash in the draft. They never make a splash in free agency, and they find the guys. So I think this is going to be a three-team race this year. And the question I would have for the Detroit Lions, and this is where I'll come into this season and where I'm going to stick, are you expecting these kinds of seasons over and over again from Jared Goff? Because I'm not. And I think he's coming back to earth soon. And I think a couple of games like he had against Chicago last year, where he could hit the broadside of a barn, and all of a sudden that team finds themselves in third place and things get a little harder for them. So I think it's a three-team race very clearly going in. I think the betting odds are almost in a dead heat right now with the Vikings slightly behind. It has the potential to be the best division in football, though.
Yeah. And it surpasses the AFC North, which had that distinction seemingly for so long. I think the NFC North is about to have it. Sorry, Trent.
No, no problem at all. One final thing for you. You talked about maybe the need for an edge rusher, still looking at that, and a potential there. What about the offensive line? You know, they're so young at tackle. Both guys, I think, have a tremendous upside, and you're excited about both Jones and Wright out there on the outside. The interior, they went out and got Ryan Pates from Buffalo, but... You know, I look at Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins, when he's healthy, he's good. He's just not healthy. Well, what do we know about the interior? Is that still maybe a problem area or concern area going into the season with all this offensive talent?
I like Nate Davis. Nate Davis just had a tough year last year off the field. And so we forgive that season. If he has another tough year this year, you're moving on. I'm a huge Ryan Bates fan. I think Ryan Bates has earned a chance to be a starting center in this league, and he is going to be a fan favorite here. You're right about Tevin Jenkins. He's a heck of a player. He's got to put together a healthy season. And I think he has to know now, this is a paid season for Tevin Jenkins. He's got to put together a season if he wants his future to be a $50 million contract this offseason, because we saw how guards got paid this last spring. Braxton Jones, to me, is who we should be looking at, because Braxton Jones is going to get this season to show he can be, let's call it BB plus at left tackle. A BB plus left tackle and an A at right tackle, which is absolutely what Darnell Wright's going to be. You can live with those two tackles and then fortify your interior. I'm watching Jones, I'm watching Jenkins' health, and I'm watching a Nate Davis rebound. There's question marks on that line, no question. But it also, there's some proven talent on that line that should come together. And think about it. You're not going to have a quarterback running around holding on to the ball. There are too many outlets this year. Mm-hmm. They don't need the pass protect for 6 seconds. There's too many guys who are going to own the line of scrimmage. I think they're going to be a good unit.
I think it's going to be a scary unit with that offense, those targets in front of them that you mentioned. Swift, carrying the ball. Moore, Allen, Odunze, and Cole Kmet loaded. Jeff Hughes,
the Bears. Ben, what are we talking about? This is the Chicago Bears.
And I can't wait to be talking to you on a weekly basis.
Yes.
There were so many years we couldn't talk about the Bears once we got to October.
They're 2-9, I guess. So we'll talk to you next year, Jeff.
Good stuff. Jeff Hughes, thanks for doing this, Jeff. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, talk to you soon.
Yeah, you sure will. Jeff Hughes, TheBearsBlog.com. I know you're guarded. I know Bears fans, Heather, Chris Shipley, guarded. Trent Condon, guarded. You guys, I get it. You've got a lot of scar tissue.
Yes.
This team, Trent, look at the weapons that he's got.
Ryan Poles has done an amazing job of rebuilding this roster very quickly. There aren't any excuses.
None.
You have a rookie quarterback. Uh-huh. Could there be growing pains? Absolutely.
There are for most.
There's also going to be games.
It wasn't for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, right. But there's going to be games that he's going to win on his own. I think the talent is there. I don't give two craps about his fingernails, about crying after a loss.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, they are, to me, things that just don't matter. We've seen guys with all kinds of different backgrounds win at quarterback in this kind of league that have all kinds of different personalities. He knows the right thing to say. He's incredibly intelligent, and he's incredibly talented. Put them all together. Is it going to work? Nobody knows, because it's quarterback. It's all a crapshoot.
Sure.
It all is.
Of the six that were drafted, three are going to bust.
Yeah.
And at
maybe
least.
More.
Yes.
Maybe more.
Right.
We see that happen often as well.
Uh-huh.
I believe in the talent, and he has the talent. This is, talent-wise, a generational quarterback, and the Chicago Bears have him. Now don't screw it up.
No. Run the football. Catch the football. They'll be able to do that with that group of receivers around them. I love what they got on the defensive side of the ball. They got some dudes over there. When they went out and got Montez Sweat from the Commanders, and it was, he's not going to re-sign, he made a bad move. But yes, he signed very quickly. Your secondary is legit with a capital L. Your linebackers are good. I love Jack Sanborn. Not the most athletic guy, but between the years, he's all over the field. Santos is more than an adequate kicker. He is. Torrey Taylor is a weapon. The Packers, the Lions, yeah, okay. Right now, I think they're an inch better than you.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not that big.
It's not. The gap is nowhere near what it's been over the last
year. Can you get a couple of balls bounce your way, a couple of a fluky win that you shouldn't have, and all of a sudden, instead mm-hmm. of 9-8, you're 11-6.
And here's the other thing. This is, I mean, this is a 10-year thing that you guys are about to embark on, right? This isn't just, oh, maybe have a good year and then be right back down to reality. No, that's not the case.
That's not how you do these.
Keelan Allen's probably got 2 years left, right? Fair to say?
Well, and he only has 1 year left on his deal.
Oh, that does he?
Yeah.
All right, but in the league, I mean, he's still a weapon. I watched a ton of Chargers football over the year.
Stud.
Justin Herbert loved him. Let's get Todd, then we'll give you an opportunity to win some bonus bucks before we talk to NBA. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Man, I want some bonus bucks. I went too early. I should have waited until after the segment. But I got a couple things that I wanted to throw at you guys, and then I'll hang up and get your thoughts. Number one, I was having a nice, spirited conversation about this whole draft for the Bears, and the first question I brought up to my diehard Bear fans is, what's the defense like? And one of my buddies immediately said, what are you talking about? They were top five defense last year in the NFL. And I got to thinking, you know, you got Torrey Taylor, who's going to pin people down inside the 20. You got a top five defense out there. It's like the Iowa Hawkeyes all over again, except for now they got weapons on offense. So, you know, that's pretty promising for this group too, because now you're talking about opportunities. How many more opportunities with a good defense are these young kids going to get each game to be on the field and score? And second thing, you know, with a good defense, you can win with 17 points.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to say and add and get your guys' thought on, you know, the defensive side and how that's going to help. And I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate you listening. Again, I think their defense is set. I do agree with Jeff. They do need somebody else coming off the edge, an edge rusher. Sweat was a revelation, and he wants to be there. I love your linebackers. I love your secondary. They paid Jalen Johnson. They needed to.
Yes.
Brisker looks as though he's a hell of a player. Kevin Byron, maybe a little bit long in the tooth, but you know, it's not like he's going to embarrass you out there by any means.
The linebackers are old, but they're productive.
They're good. They're fine, I think. I think this defense is really good.
Yeah, it's a
A legitimate three-team race in the North. What are the odds? Are the Bears the third choice?
I would guess that they are. Let's see if we can find Pro Football. There we go. Championship exact is division. Here we go. Yes, no's. So these are listed. Here we go. Scrolling down to the NFC North. Your betting favorite is the Detroit Lions at +130.
Mm-hmm. Packers 150 or 60?
196 at circa.
That's big.
Almost 2-1. The Bears are the third betting choice, +375. And the Vikings nearly 10-1, +985 for the Vikings. 375?
Worth the dabble.
Maybe parlay them with somebody?
Uh-huh.
Somebody that you think's a cinch, like Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. They are.
They are.
For another year. I think Harbaugh's going to run them down.
Oh, you do?
I do. I think Harbaugh will run them down. Not Sean Payton. No.
You're so beaten down over there.
I am. I sound like you.
Yeah.
But I didn't sound like you for... There's been some awful good times.
You've had those, too.
I have, absolutely.
What's it like?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely
awesome.
I was
in kindergarten.
That's the last
time. I'm a 44-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in kindergarten at the New Haven Tavern.
Now, the first one was the best. I mean, the Super Bowl 32, after all of those, I mean, Timmy Smith, my God.
Bludgeoning.
And Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and just so many beatdowns over the year. What was that, 55 to
10,
I think it was, and the game was in New Orleans. But then when they beat the Packers, that was like no other day I can experience as a sports fan.
The helicopter into the end zone.
Oh, my God. Does this old man want to win? Mm-hmm. Still hear that call. Terrell Davis going off the field, coming back on as a decoy, even though he had the migraine headache. Because if they're on the field, they think we're going to give you the ball. They didn't get the ball. Oh, what a game. What an incredible game. What a day. I slept with my Elway autographed football.
Did you?
I'll be honest with you, I did.
Yeah. On the wrong side of the bed.
Cindy, we got company. We're bringing somebody else into the bedroom.
Elway's football. I want to have that moment again. I want to be able to have that. Last year, the Twins won a three-game playoff series. And I was through the moon just having that. I can't imagine it. It's been so long.
And then if it's football, too.
Right.
And you're down. Or at least the Twins have been in the playoffs.
Right. You know how it usually ends, but the
quickly.
And the Bears have been there, and we had the double doink, and we've had some other tough losses. But even those teams, even the 15-1 team with Orton.
He deserves more love,
I think.
I think Kyle Orton was a good NFL quarterback.
Very
sad. Whether it be in Chicago or when he was in Denver. Mm-hmm. I thought he got an unfair, they treated him unfairly. I do. I think he was better than people remember him.
Absolutely. He shouldn't be a punchline.
No, absolutely
not. If Kyle Orton's a punchline, it was a terrible joke.
And that was his rookie campaign that he was thrust into it, right? When Grossman got hurt.
Sexy Rexy.
Yeah, I think Kyle Orton was better than an adequate quarterback. Wasn't a placeholder. Anyways.
Yeah, a good C+.
Yes. No, for sure. He's probably not a top 10.
No.
But he's in that next group.
Right.
And you could win a lot of games with that next group.
Every time he was top 20, though. Probably in that 18 to 20 range. Yeah. And you can win football games with the right team.
Why didn't he get more love here? Because he went to Purdue?
Probably. Yeah.
If he stays home, he's revered, right?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And had the successes that he had at Purdue.
Yeah.
Or some of the successes that certainly Iowa was having at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of a Nate Chandler.
Mm.
It was Kyle Orton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be big time.
We'll take a time out before we do that. We're going to talk some NBA when we come back. We're going to talk a lot of T-Wolves Nuggets between now. And game one on Saturday night. Has there been a time set for that
game? No, because there's two potential
game
sevens.
Yeah. All right, let's do a Trent Bonus Bucks time. Bills at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. Bills at KXNO.com. NBA conversation next. We will talk to Jackson Gatlin when we come back from Lock On Podcast Network. He covers the NBA for them. Look forward to picking his brain. We'll do so next. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's plays of the day still to come. Circa Sports. Download the app here in the state of Iowa. They sponsor Trent's plays of the day. They'll be coming up here in about 15 minutes. Promise we're going to talk some NBA, some more NBA. Jackson Gatlin joins us from Locked On NBA. He's back with us, and we're grateful for him for doing that. Jackson, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming back on, Jackson. How are you?
Excited to talk a little NBA playoffs with you guys.
I enjoyed it last time. Can't wait to do it here. And I want to jump ahead. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But, man, this series that we're about to embark on, the upstart Minnesota Timberwolves, the defending champion Denver Nuggets, I think it's going to be a series. They played three times in the regular season. I get regular season, different animal. But the Timberwolves, with that with the three bigs that they can throw out there, with Gobert and with Kat and with Naz Reid and Anthony Edwards playing all-worldly. Am I crazy, Jackson? I think they've got more than just a puncher's chance to knock off the champs. How about you?
No, look, I'm incredibly excited about this series. I've been a big fan of what the T-Wolves have done all season long. Anthony Edwards is really kind of coming into his own as one of the upper echelon stars of this league. You heard Karl-Anthony Towns talking about it post-game recently, just how good he is, and just seeing what he did to that Phoenix Suns in that first-round series was some really impressive stuff. And as you look at the matchups across the board, right, I think that with the three bigs that the T-Wolves have, right, being able to throw out Gobert, Towns, and then also Naz Reid off the bench, like they've got a lot of size to throw at the Nuggets. I think that this is a series where we could see Nikola Jokic get really worn down. I'm expecting this thing to go at least seven games, honestly.
I would sign up for that.
Me too.
And getting the behemoth, though, that means winning a seventh game for Minnesota in Denver to get that done. This Denver team, they play at such a high level. The Joker is just, he plays at a different level. It's like he's in the Matrix, right? He just sees things at a different speed than everybody else. Short of an injury or something goofy, what would have to happen? What would have to happen in your mind for the Timberwolves to maybe come a year early, knock off the Nuggets, and go to the Western Conference Finals?
You know, I think one of the matchups that I'm going to be paying so much attention to here is just how the Timberwolves actually elect. Basically, I'm a little concerned from the T-Wolves' perspective of what are they going to do defensively with Karl-Anthony Towns. Who are they going to position him on? Because you're going to have Gobert guarding Jokic. What do you do with Kat? We saw in the first round series, right, they elected to actually let Kat guard Kevin Durant because the logic from Chris Finch and company was, okay, well, KD wants to operate out of the mid-range for the most part anyways. We can put Kat on him. We can try to utilize some of that length, let him play back off of KD a little bit because KD's going to shoot over whoever he wants to shoot over. So might as well just put Kat there and not have a mismatch, you know, or an awkward cross match anywhere else across the board. I don't know what they're going to do with Kat in this series, right? Do you put him on Aaron Gordon? Because
maybe Porter.
I think that maybe Porter. Like, I really don't know how they're going to do it because my concern with Aaron Gordon is, right, he isn't a great shooter, but he can attack off the bounce, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes an issue where you could get Kat in foul trouble. And Anthony Edwards has talked about how important Kat is on the floor, that he's their most important offensive player or their best offensive player because he provides so many mismatch opportunities for the T-Wolves offensively because he can post, he can shoot from the perimeter, he can pass, he can do everything you need him to do offensively. But then defensively, that's where I'm not going to say Kat's a liability. I just think that it's a little bit of an awkward matchup, so I don't know who you would put him on. But from that perspective, you know, the T-Wolves have to figure out how they answer that. And then do they guard Jokic in single coverage, right? How much confidence do they have in Rudy Gobert to try and slow down Jokic by himself? And do they stick to their defensive principles, whatever they decide to do here in game one of the series, upcoming this weekend? How do they guard Jokic? That's what I'm going to be paying attention to.
One more on this series. We're going to move on because there are some other good ones up. But this one just can't wait.
I just want to put it out there. We could spend forever talking about this. I'm really excited about this.
I'm totally with you. What's Mike Conley brought to this Timberwolves team? Obvious. I mean, the veteran presence for sure. But what does he mean to this team?
You know, I think he'd provide. First of all, Mike Conley is such a high IQ basketball player. Yeah. Like he has this. You talk about the veteran presence, but it's also just, it's a steadying hand, right? It's a calming influence. And I think that when you have, you know, a conglomerate of, you know, some young talent, right, with Ant, with Kat, who's maybe not, you know, on the young in talent spectrum, but just kind of, I think Conley was able to take a T-Wolves team that had a lot of the right pieces to, you know, make something happen. And just, he was kind of the missing piece, right, to elevate this team, to get them to start playing the way that we're seeing them play this year, right? A lot of people at the end of last season, after things kind of, you know, didn't go so hot, you know, the first year with Kat and Gobert trying to run the double center lineup and everything, there were a lot of questions about, man, the T-Wolves, this all-in move for Gobert did not look great, whatever. And then you bring in Mike Conley, and suddenly, you know, things start to click, right? He makes life so much easier for Anthony Edwards. He's able to identify, you know, who to get the ball to, you know, who's got the hot hand, what the right things are to run in a given, you know, given moment of a game. I think Mike Conley has done a lot for this team. I've been a huge fan of his all the way back from his Memphis days. Easily one of the best, most underrated point guards in the association.
Let's go out east. Ken posed this to me earlier, the Porzingis injury, if it turns out to be something pretty significant, does it open up the path for anybody in the east, or are we just a foregone conclusion? It's going to be the Celtics, and we'll see if it's the Nuggets or somebody else coming out of the West.
I don't know. You know, it's tough because, obviously, you know, Al Horford can slot in there, and the Celtics, it's not like there's a substantial drop-off. But at the same time, having Porzingis there for what he provides as a two-way player, both, you know, his defensive presence for the Celtics this season, and then all, obviously how dynamic he is as an offensive piece, has been one of the key reasons for a lot of their success this year. So, depending on the severity of that injury, I don't want to say that it does, you know, that it's just a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Celtics coming out of the East. There's still a lot of talent out East. You could very easily see an upset potentially happen. I think that, you know, a sleeper candidate here, right, the Indiana Pacers, right, if they start to fire on all cylinders, right, one of the best offense in the NBA, like that team can get hot in a hurry. And if they get hot, you know, in the right series or for the right stretch of games, then they could knock out anybody out East. So I think that the Porzingis injury, depending on the severity of it, it could really change the complexion of things.
When are we going to see Tatum have one of those games? I mean, I keep waiting to go for 40 because he certainly got it in him, and he hasn't so far. Obviously, we're expecting that at some point this playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think this Celtics team feels different than, Celtics teams of the past, where it's almost like you needed one of Tatum or Brown to have a big game every single night to be able to pull out and come away with these playoff dubs. I think that this Celtics team is now playing a much more team-oriented brand of basketball, which is why why we haven't seen Tatum have one of those monster games yet, almost because he really hasn't needed to have one of those monster games yet. We know that he's capable of doing it right. We know that he's capable of stepping up to the plate and having a big performance here and there. I almost wonder, and I felt the same way about the Nuggets through this first round of the playoffs. I almost wonder if these two teams are a little bored, right? Where they're just come on, let's just go ahead and fast forward to the finals. Like, well, a lot of people had it drawn up as a foregone conclusion. Oh, it'll be the Nuggets. It'll be the Celtics. Let's just get to the finals and see who ultimately wins it. So maybe there's a little bit of that kind of apathy at play where they're just like, come on, like, we've been here, we've done this, let's just get through these next, eight games or so, get us to the finals, and then we'll really turn it on and start playing our best basketball. But they've also been the buzzsaw out east, so it's hard to underwrite them at this point.
Coming up this evening, what are you looking forward to the most? A couple of series potentially coming to an end with the Knicks and the Pacers, one win away. And then a game 5, pivotal, I've been told, with the Magic and the Cavs. I haven't watched a lick of that series.
Oh, man. Well, first off, Magic Cavs, I have that one going to 7 as well. I actually have Magic taking it in 7. I'm a really big fan of the Magic team. I think they were a little bit kind of deer in headlights those first couple games, but then, found their rhythm again, got back into it, and, they've made it an interesting series at least at this point. Pacers, Bucks, I mean, look, no Giannis, no Dame. Pacers should clean this one up and then move on to the next round. And then for the Knicks, Sixers series, man, I'll tell you what, that's been probably my favorite first round series so far. Some really high level basketball being played on both sides of the court, straight out of the 90s, right? Like some really grit and grind physicality. Obviously, there's no love lost between Joel Embiid and many members of the
Knicks. That's for sure.
With all the little cheap shots and some dirty play going on back and forth. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the Knicks, take care of business and close this thing out.
Jackson Gatling, Locked On NBA. Jackson, thank you again for your contribution. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll impose on you, hopefully next week you can find some time as we continue through this playoff run. It's been a blast so far. Jackson, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Jackson Gatling, Locked On NBA, as we take a brief look at what's coming up both tonight and then down the road. This Indiana team, Siakam is a... I mean, his game elevates in the playoffs. We saw that in Toronto. He was a phenomenal playoff performer. I forgot Doug McDermott's on the roster. You know how much he's made in his career? I just looked it up. How much do you think Doug McDermott?
$60 million.
$72 million. $72 million.
For a guy that was on his way to you and I.
Unbelievable. Well done, Doug McDermott. Nembhard, good player, obviously. Miles Turner, nice player. I don't know. This seems like they're a piece or two away.
Yeah, I think so. Even beating the Knicks, even a depleted Knicks team, it kind of feels like that.
I think that's a tough slog.
But we'll get to see the old shots of the 90s series and the Pacers and the Knicks.
Oh, my God. Reggie and the Garden and Spike Lee in the front row. And they had some battles for fan player. That was fun. That was a long time ago, but fun time.
Dale Davis, Rick Smits.
Smits. How big was he? 7'1"? He was 7'4". 7'4", I think he was. 12:45, Miller and Condon, Trends Plays of the Day. They're next. You got a little bit of a little sample of all the sports tonight. You can do some puck?
We have one that a little bit different.
Okay.
Haven't been seen in the hockey very well.
No.
I'll get your opinion on this one. I'm going, taking a big shot with my one hockey pick for tonight.
Can't wait to hear it. That's next. Circus Sports sponsors. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.
Back to Miller and Condon on KXNO and Trent's Pick of the Day, presented by Circus Sports Iowa.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Our final segment, Circus Sports sponsors the plays of the day. NBA, MLB, some day games today? Just one.
Is there one?
Cards, Tigers. Is that a double dip?
It is, because there was a rain out yesterday. I was on, I don't remember what side I was on yesterday. I think the Tigers, but yeah. It was rained out, got us down to 7, and we went 4-3 and made just shy of a unit yesterday on the plus side of things. 6 bets for you today, presented by Circus Sports, available here in the great state of Iowa. Also for listeners in Illinois, also the Circus Sports app over there. We got baseball, we got hockey, and we have one in the NBA. All right, let's just start with the hockey pick.
Okay.
Going late night.
So it's either the Canucks or the Jets.
And it is Vancouver hosting Nashville. 3-1, mm-hmm. Canucks say win away. Mm-hmm. They look good.
Well, they got lucky the other day. The Predators, 2 minutes left in the game, they're up.
If this is Vancouver flexing their muscle one final time,
mm-hmm.
lay the 1.5, plus 210. Do you like it? You seem apprehensive.
Predators had their heart broken. Okay.
Would you prefer a Nashville money line bet over laying the 1? You'd go this direction.
Yeah, I'd go your direction.
Vancouver minus 1.5, mm-hmm. plus 210. Nice price on that one. One in the NBA. Give me the under again in the Magic-Cavs game as they move back to Cleveland for game 5 of that one. Don't see the 3-point shooting continuing for Orlando at the pace we've seen.
Has that series been relegated to NBA TV? Yes. I've never seen it, I don't think.
I saw a minute of it, 216?
Beth Mowins called a game 1 of an NBA game on the Saturday, the first Saturday of the playoff. It might have been this series.
Magic, Cavs under 205.
Okay, but you don't have a feel on any of the point spreads?
Nope. Didn't. They're all so close, I just mm-hmm. couldn't get there for anyone. I like the favorites kind of in all of them too much.
Think the Knicks win tonight?
I think they do. Yep. Maybe that'd be worth a shot of close one down to the end, kind of when we talked about the Lakers Nuggets.
Well, you're spot on that one.
I'm fading your boy. Jose Barrios and the Blue Jays. Raggins is really good for Kansas City. Yeah. This is going to be a great pitching matchup.
And Kansas City, they've lost, 3 in a row?
3 in a row. Yeah. Reeling a little bit, plus 120, for the Royals there. Never bet against the streak. Give me Minnesota, minus 164 against Sean Roberts' White Sox, and 2 more.
Is he still claiming the White Sox?
Not much longer. Jeez. Braves, minus 118 against the Mariners, a good matchup. Castillo gets him out. Kind of like Castillo. I don't do a ton of props. I like his over strikeout number against the Braves, but I like the Braves in the game in Seattle late night tonight. Final one for you. Don't look now, but the Washington Nationals,
I'm telling you,
they got some speed. That young kid, mm-hmm. he has had three straight games with two or more stolen bases.
Really?
He's super fast. They're not playoff ready, anything like that. But plus 132 tonight, give me
their arrow
Nationals.
Is pointing up. I agree with you. All right, that will do it for us. Murph and Andy, they'll be here at the top of the hour. They'll take you till 3, then the drive with Heather and Sean. Of course, tomorrow morning, it begins locally anyways at 6 a.m. with the Morning Rush. We're Miller and Condon. You can hear Trent and I. We talk sports with you Monday through Friday from 11 to 1 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.